Mr. Chalby, welcome to Living on Earth. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure, sir.
Iraq nationalized its oil fields, what, back in 1972. Now they're starting to develop those and start working with international oil corporations. I guess the Shell Corporation just signed a deal with the central government to start capturing gas that's flaring off from some of the wells.
Well, you are right, yes. There is associated gas coming out of the oil that is being produced from the southern part of the country, and Basra in particular. In fact, there are facilities that had been built in the 70s and 80s that cost Iraq's over $2 billion. These facilities somehow have been partially damaged during the Gulf War of 91, and also they were badly maintained because of the sanctions that lasted until 2003. What happened that the Ministry of Oil just signed heads of agreement, it is not yet a contract, with Shell, whereby they will be working out a contract that will might take over 15 months to conclude, and they will be utilizing that associated gas. I personally am against that deal because the facilities are there. They have been built. I was deeply involved with that project. You simply need to maintain, rehabilitate, or possibly replace some of the equipment in the south, and there you are. You can utilize all the produced gas. There's no need for you to go and bring a partner. And the second important issue is that they negotiated a contract with Shell on bilateral basis. They did not call for competitive bidding. According to all the regulations, the ministry should have sought at least three offers and then to decide which is the best. So they only decided to negotiate with Shell. God knows why. I don't ask me why. And they went ahead and they concluded heads of agreement. And that, by all means, will require to be approved first and foremost by the parliament.
Well, it sounds like, actually, whoever does it sounds like a great idea that you take this flared off gas, the stuff that's literally going up in smoke, and capture it. Great for the environment, great for Iraq, great for the world.
Yeah, but they should have repaired these facilities. The facilities are there. It cost Iraq in the 80s almost over $2 billion. So why do I scrap all these facilities? My idea is that they should have repaired, according to all the reports that have been made. It could have been repaired. It could have cost Iraq maybe, I would say, $300, $500 million, not more. And Iraq doesn't need the money. We all know that. Iraq has over $70 billion. And its deposits now. They could have called the suppliers of the compressors, the engineering companies, to assist in rehabilitating the facilities instead of making partnership with Shell.
There's a lot at stake this week. The current Iraqi oil minister, al-Sharastani, is meeting in London with representatives of the international oil companies, and they're going to be discussing the future of oil in Iraq. What do you think is going to come out of those talks?
Well, nothing on short term, because this is only the starting point. This is the culmination of steps that have been made within the last 9 months. They qualified a number of foreign companies, and they put on the table last June six producing oil fields, and they are calling for offers from these foreign oil companies. And at the same time, he's going to put on the table for the second round, which will be the starting point of which will be made in December. So we are talking about over 20 oil fields between September and December. The total proven reserves of these fields make over 85% of the currently proven reserves of the country. So currently Iraq is producing almost 2.2, 2.3 million barrels a day. And at one point, years back, Iraq was producing from the same oil fields almost 3.8 to 4 million barrels a day. So the question again, why does he need to go into partnership with the international oil companies? So we have to distinguish between fields that have been discovered and developed and that is giving now over 2 million barrels a day, and fields that have been discovered but not developed. I would say that, well and good, let them go ahead and put on the table for contracts, service contracts, with the international oil companies for those fields that have not been developed. Discovered fields that have been developed and have been producing for many years. I think these fields should have been put aside. They should have been continued to be operated by the Iraqis. If they need services, they could buy services from engineering companies, drilling companies, as they have been doing for decades now. They don't need a partner.
So what you're saying is that they should purchase services to develop the oil, but not give these oil companies a share of the revenue from the sale.
That's
of
right.
The petroleum.
So you don't need Shell, you don't need BP, and you don't need ExxonMobil to do that for you, okay? We've been doing it for years, for decades, okay? But we do have other fields that have been discovered and not developed, and they number over 60 to 70 of them. These should have chosen some of those fields, put them on the table for discussions with the international oil companies, and he could have achieved better results.
Iraq still has not passed a hydrocarbon law that would determine, among other things, how the oil wealth is going to be divvied up.
And unfortunately, it's always misleading, these politicians and some of the people, both in Washington and in Baghdad. They don't tell the truth. I'll tell you what. I will not give you the laws that had been made in prior to 1958. We have Law 80 of 1961. We have Law of 1964 establishing the Iraq National Oil Company. We have Law 1967. We have Law another one, or Law 123 of 1967, determining how these fields to be developed. This is all, by the way, in the 60s. This is all. These are all before the Ba'athist regime came to power. And then after that, we have laws in 1972, 73, 75, 80, 76, 85. There are plenty of laws, a volume of laws that will tell you how to develop the industry. Okay? And now they say you need to, there is no oil and gas law. There is oil and gas law. I'll tell you the difference. The existing laws allow only the Minister of Oil or Iraq National Oil Company to develop its oil industry. If they need partnership with any foreign company, they need to go for a special law, case by case, as they did in 1968 with the French, as they did in 1968 with the Brazilians, as they did in 1970 with the Indians, as they did in 1997 with the Russians and with the Chinese. This is the major difference. So all the contracts, according, because there's no oil and gas law, there's no new law that gives power to anybody. So any contract, including the Shell deal and that with the Chinese, it will not be legal unless they go to the parliament, have it approved, and get a special law.
You know, with so many billions at stake here, I would imagine that, forget politics, but there's going to be corruption and extraordinary violence. I mean, we're seeing that in Nigeria now in the fight over oil.
Well, it just happened that I'm reading on the internet a report comparing Iraq to Nigeria. Well, believe it or not, I think you've seen the report that had come out 10 days ago from the transparency organizations that list the 180 countries of the world in terms of corruption. Iraq ranks number 178 out of 180. Only Myanmar and Somalia fall behind Iraq. Even Nigeria is much better in terms of corruption. Iraqis are not getting from the national grid more than 1 hour of electricity a day. They are purchasing from local small generators power that will give them additional 2 to 3 hours. There is no clean water available. They still talk about smuggling oil products. We are talking in terms of billions of dollars that have gone missing. If you have a weak government, then it's going to be fought over by all these provinces and the regions, Kurds, Arabs, various parts of the country, because everybody would like to put his hands over the oil within his own area.
Let me ask a brash question. What's in the oil deals for the United States?
Well, we still do not know, but the United States was pushing for this new hydrocarbon law. This will allow, as I said, for the re-entry of the foreign companies into Iraq. The foreign companies' activities were nationalized during the period 1972 to 1975. So number one would be to get in the foreign companies into Iraq again and to get the to get it out of the control of the central government. What would be in it for the United States? We have to wait and see what kind of deals would be made.
Mr. Chalabi, are you among those who think that the United States attacked Iraq for its oil?
I give you the answer that was given by many U.S. politicians. If there was no oil in Iraq, the United States wouldn't have attacked Iraq. Is that a fair answer? Saddam Hussein was the dictator of Mozambique or any other country in Africa. They wouldn't have attacked him. There was a question put to Wolfowitz in 2003 when he was speaking to the American soldiers in one of the American bases there. When they said, it is known now that there is no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, while North Korea admits that they do have it. Why did you go for Iraq? He said, don't you know that Iraq floats on oil? This is his answer, not mine. So I would say oil was part of the strategy. Not necessarily to get the oil into the United States, but to dominate and to control indirectly the flow of oil from Iraq.
You were Iraq's oil minister from, what, 1987 until 1990, just before the Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait? And
well, I was dismissed from my office 3-4 weeks after the invasion of Kuwait.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Well, I don't know, but they never tell you why. I tell you very frankly, I never did swallow the idea of invading another country. And they brought in someone from the family to take over.
Is oil in Iraq a blessing or a curse?
It depends how you run it. It's a blessing if you know how to utilize it for the benefit of the people. And it's a curse if you don't do so. And I think most of the time has been a curse. Not because the way it has been run by the country, but also because it has been the cause of greed, intervention by regional powers and foreign powers. As we said, Iraq has plenty of oil, maybe the second in the world after Saudi Arabia. And I think everybody would like to have a piece of that oil.
Mr. Chalabi, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, sir.
Issam al-Chalabi is the former oil minister of Iraq. He now runs a consulting firm in Amman, Jordan.